World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from Calgary, Canada, here's Leon Fontaine.
I've noticed over the years, as a pastor, my job is to equip and train the saints. My job is to equip and train the body of Christ. And I've noticed some things, and one of the things I want to talk about today is I've noticed that people who were raised in great Christian homes and were hugged and loved and bragged on their whole life could be really wimpy when it came to standing strong. And then I would be raising and working with people who came from broken homes, beaten, brutally, even hurt as kids growing up. And they would come into church and unbelievably tough. Now, there was other problems they had in following Christ. Well, that bugged me, because I'm the most kissed, hugged guy you know. I mean, I was raised in a family with a mom and a dad, pastors and churches, leaders. I don't know what it is to be abused or broken or have to go through on my own or to be ignored or never touched. Never had that. And I remember one of Dad's friends, he was a pastor, really believed that God could never use you until you go through some hell. And I just couldn't accept that. So we'd argue all the time. But I knew he had a point. That we use the word sucky, you know, that a lot of leaders who could rise up could be sucky. And if we're going to raise up leaders in business and politics and families and homes and all these areas, that we needed people who, when things weren't going the right way and the wind wasn't blowing in their direction, that they would just stand strong, tough. They could handle some pain. And I found it few and far between. And so I began a study because I still couldn't accept the fact that if God was ever going to use me for great things, and back when I was young, it seemed like the people who had the greatest ministries were ex-Hells Angels, ex-abused people, and they were. There was a toughness, and there was this love for God of what they'd been through and what God could do for them. And so I'm going to talk about that today, and I'm going to offend a couple people. But that's okay. Because offense isn't what's given, offense is what's taken. And I love you. And I want you to rise up, and I want you to do things with your life that are amazing. I want you to be so strong that you know how to rise up in the face of adversity and have the confidence and the strength that you need to go through. There's a verse in the Bible that's really interesting in Isaiah 41, verses 9 to 11, and it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and dismay, for I am your God." I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, "I will strengthen and harden you." What? I will strengthen and harden. And I went to the Greek to make sure that the translators weren't just throwing that in there. Because the Amplified is one of those Bibles, they like to put as many as the meanings of that word in there so you can see a whole look at it, and it's definitely in there. That this word for God strengthening you means that God would harden you. Now, right away, we think, well, I don't want a hard heart. He didn't say harden your heart. And as I begin to study this out, I recognized that he spoke to one of the prophets, and he said, "I'm going to make your forehead harder than the forehead of your enemies." Wow. And as I begin to go through the Word, I begin to get excited. I didn't have to wait 15 years to toughen up. I didn't have to go through 43,000 storms and lose everybody I loved and then be sick and diseased and poor. All the dumb stuff that people think God's going to put you through before you can do anything great for Him. And then as I begin to think through some of these teachings that were out there, I begin to recognize that David came from a great home with a great dad and a great mom, and he got up and went out and killed Goliath as a teenager. The dude was tough. And then I began to recognize that you can't find in the Bible. Now, lots of people went through hard stuff. All of us will on this planet before you get to heaven. You're going to go through some things. But God's training isn't to throw a storm at you to make you tough. That's like a general who's looking for some tough captains in his army. He doesn't make them go fight a battle that is needless. Go attack that hill so I can see who's tougher. That's stupid. He just watches them in battle, and he begins to notice the courageous. He begins to notice the wise. He begins to notice those. And so just in life, all right, God's plan to make you strong, to toughen you up. It says here, right here in this verse, that you just focus on Him, look to Him. He'll strengthen you and He'll harden you. If God was going to simply be your genie and you just rub prayer three times and He pops out and goes and fixes it for you, He wouldn't need to harden you. He wouldn't need to strengthen you. He wouldn't need to toughen you. But all through the Bible, I find out that in the Old Testament, David talked about things like, by my God, I can run through a troop, I can leap over a wall. Who? By my God. Then you get into the New Testament. I'm covering a lot of doctrine in just a short time. In the New Testament, it says we are in Him. That's incredible, because in the Old Testament, you had to wait for the presence of God to come upon you. On Elijah, the presence of God came upon him in his lifetime 7 times. Read it, count it out. Elisha wanted a double portion. And when you read through Elisha's life, he had 14 miracles. When the presence of God would come upon them, they could sense it. They knew it. Samson wasn't strong till the presence of God came on him. He'd shake himself and all of a sudden lift up the doors of a city and carry him up a hill. But in the New Testament, it says we are in Him. That Holy Spirit actually works the gifts of the Spirit, an incredible arsenal of 9 gifts that we are to use in everyday life for business, raising kids, marriages. It talks about the 9 strengths of a leader, which the Bible calls fruits, but those are the strengths of a leader. That there's a joy, there's a peace, and it makes people want to be around you, makes your marriages work, your kids work, makes the teams around you want to be with you when you're forgiving and loving and caring. And so there's the strengths of a soldier, then there's the gifts and the arsenal of a soul. I begin to find the Bible the most fascinating thing as I recognize that I could put my trust in Him and that I was equipped and prepared and ready for anything that was coming at me. And oh, I so disagree with those people who think, well, read it. I mean, the Bible says, Leon, that we're going to have persecutions and we're going to have trouble. Oh, I get that. But when you start adding sickness and poverty to your list, as though you're suffering for Jesus when you're sick or you're suffering for Jesus through your poverty, that can't be found in the Bible. Because Jesus died for those things and all the curses, and you can read the list of curses in Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 and on. Anything you find in there is a curse. Jesus took it. And Galatians 3:13 says there is no curse that's allowed in your life. And you've got to believe that and stand on that. But I began to recognize as I studied the Word that if God is going to use you, He needs you to toughen up. He's going to strengthen you and harden you. And it's not an outside physical thing. It's an inside heart thing. In other words, He's not going to make your heart tough as in you can't really, sense or have compassion. No. But your heart will be so full of compassion and love and so strong against anything the enemy will try to do. It's something that religion and the world can't really figure out. That an incredible love and incredible compassion that Jesus had, He was also untouchable. He said in John 10, no one's taken my life. I'll lay it down when I'm ready to lay it down. Noah, and no one could kill him, touch him. There was no example of a bruise being put on him till he gave himself over to die and you're in our place. And so as I look at this issue about toughening up, I begin to recognize, like in 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verses 10, and it says, endure troubles. It says we've got to obtain salvation. It's not saying here that you can't get rid of troubles. And you have to know what these troubles are and they're not. He's not talking about things that fall under the curse. Today is the day of salvation for everything that Jesus won on the cross. But around you is going to be people that are going to lie about you, backstab you, cheat, diminish everything you do, try to take your job, do anything they can because we live in that kind of a world until we get to heaven. And that's what he's talking about. There'll be leaders above you making poor decisions that you have to live through because you work for that company or you're living in that country. And so we live in a real world where there's going to be things like afflictions. There's going to be things that push at us. And you're going to have to make a decision now not to be overwhelmed, but to overcome. In other words, we need to toughen up on the road to victory. I don't mean toughen up on the road to failing everything. I mean toughen up on the road to victory so that everywhere you go, you've learned to overcome. You've learned to walk by faith, walk in the grace of God, and you just know that, hey, right now I don't feel like I'm making it, but it doesn't matter because when the dust settles and the smoke clears, I will be standing as more than a conqueror, and I will walk and win and continue to go because God is my helper. Who can stand before me?
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
Do you wish your life was different? God's desire for you is to have a full and abundant life. What if it isn't God's will that's stopping you? What if it has everything to do with what you believe? It's crucial as believers we begin to understand the power of our words. In this series by Leon Fontaine, The Power of Your Tongue, you'll learn how to steer your life with your words, build inner dreams, and renew your mind in God's Word.
In my life, I got so excited when I found out about the process of faith and that you could literally overcome anything in this world. And so I want to give you one of the teachings on this called The Power of Your Tongue. This is a crucial part of the process of faith. We'd love to send it to you. And I believe you listen to this over and over, it'll change your world.
You can walk in an amazing future by changing what you speak. Get your copy of The Power of Your Tongue today.
This is a big issue for the church today, that we've got to recognize that this strength, this hardness, isn't about being hard where you can't love or where you can't have compassion. It goes with it. And it makes you so that nothing the enemy does, nothing people do when they come at you can change what God wants to do in your life. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, fight! I'm a Christian and I love Jesus and I think fighting is wrong. Well, then change the Bible. Doesn't say fight people. Doesn't even say fight demons. Jesus finished that one. It says fight the fight of faith. Fight to stay in faith. Fight to stay strong, confident, passionate, on in direction. Don't just, I can see a storm coming. Doesn't matter. Storm can come, it can blow. Some houses may fall, but not yours because yours is based on the rock. Well, I think storms come to strengthen us. Well, that's not what Jesus taught. He taught the one house was totally destroyed. Didn't put one screw in deeper. Didn't straighten out any walls or stick the shingles down better. It destroyed it. And the other one, it just couldn't. Isn't that interesting? One life could be just destroyed, and the other one couldn't even be shaken. When we understand who Jesus is in our lives, he is more than enough for us to walk through this world and to win financially, to win relationally, to win and take the gospel to the world, to win, to rise up, to face what's going on, and to spread the gospel, to be a part of the kingdom of God with this strength. Ezekiel chapter 3, if you're taking notes, verses 8 to 10, is where he says, I'll make your face strong and I'll make your face hard against their faces. You ever notice when an enemy starts coming against you and their face is just like this and you go, oh Lord, they look angry. They look passionately angry. Oh boy, I better not confront them. He said, he'll make your face harder than their face. There's so many promises that say when people passionately and hatefully rise up against you, which makes most Christians go, just go back down in the name of Jesus. I'll never forget, and I've shared the story of out witnessing with my dad when I was a young pastor, and we were going through the worst area of our city, handing out tracts and inviting him to a concert that we were doing, an invite. And as I walked by this group of guys, they were sitting on a fence outside of a bar. I walked over and handed them each an invite, and the guy says, what's this? I said, well, it's an invite. And I explained to him what it was, and all of them just crumpled them up, threw them on the ground in front of my feet. And they said, so you're a Christian, huh? And I said, yeah. Oh, so you love Jesus, huh? I said, yeah. He says, so he's your friend. I said, yeah. He goes, these guys are my friends. He says, and me and my friends are going to kick the beep, beep, beep out of you. You know what beeps mean? He says, what is your Jesus going to do for you now? Well, some teaching is so pacifistic that they just taught you to stand there and take it. That's not in the Bible. And I said, well, what's my Jesus going to do for me? Well, his angels are going to protect me from all four or five of you guys. Or he's going to give me the strength to take you all. And I meant it. He looks at me and he goes, what kind of Christian are you? Because most men don't like Christianity as it's presented. They think it's more feminine, more, you know, get in touch with your feelings and love Jesus. And I said, I'm the real kind. So why don't you guys sit down, I'll explain it to you. They sat down for 45 minutes while I shared the Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Not a guy in a dress and flip-flops, but the guy in Revelation chapter 1 and what he looks like with his armor as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Many times as I've walked around dealing with men, I've noticed that they have a hard time relating to Christianity because it really does, if it's not careful, present a wimpiness when it shouldn't be presenting a wimpiness. Love is not wimpy, okay? If you don't believe me, then just find a man and try to take his kids away. His love for the kid. Just, you know, I often share the story of a woman who's paralyzed by a fear of snakes. But one day she's walking by her nursery and she sees a poisonous snake curling its way up the crib to her infant. That is one dead snake. She's going to take his head off with her teeth. Why? Because her love for her child is more powerful than her fear of the snakes. And so don't ever think that love is wimpy, that love isn't going to work. We've got to understand that you and I were designed to get up and to win and to succeed. In the Old Testament, the presence of God would come upon them, and they could tell it when God wanted them to do something. In the New Covenant, he never leaves us. There's something wrong with the Church of Jesus Christ if the Old Testament just couldn't wait for God to move and would have it sporadically. I mean, I saw 14 miracles by the time I was 20 years old. He never leaves us. It means we should be walking this incredible life of rising up and speaking to storms and praying for people and sharing this amazing good news of the gospel of freedom. But instead, so much of the church is cowering around because of what's going on in the government, or cowering around because we're just trying to keep ourselves happy and our head up, and we're struggling with all of our own emotions. And people have often taught, please pray that this would go away. What would go away? Well, this problem that I'm dealing with, well, I'll pray with you, but I want you to overcome it. Because if you don't overcome it and it goes away because I pray, then what are you going to do? Be handcuffed to me so anytime you got a problem, I can pray for you? Or can you become an overcomer? Can you be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit? Can you feed on the bread of life and the Word of God and learn to relate to Holy Spirit and get the 9 gifts of the Spirit flowing through you? They weren't designed. The 9 gifts of the Spirit weren't designed, like some people say, well, to one is given the word of knowledge. to another gifts of healings. I sure hope you don't get sick by yourself out camping because you don't have the gifts of healings. I guess you've just had it. No, all nine are in you because Holy Spirit is in you. The word for Holy Spirit they use in the King James is comforter. And it's very accurate. It's a very accurate word. And there's seven different meanings for the word that talks about Holy Spirit. He's your comforter. And that means that in the midst of whatever you're going through, there's a comfort that you can't explain that keeps you at peace. There's a comfort when you lose somebody you love and you go through some things that are rough. He'll be there to comfort you. But that same word comforter also means strengthener or hardener. The same Holy Spirit that comforts you. And a better word would be the word coach. Holy Spirit is your coach. Now, I had some really bad coaches. Now, they got some of the best stuff out of me, but so mean and angry. And then there's other coaches, you know, they were too soft. Well, how can you be both? Well, Holy Spirit is so full of love for you like a dad that he cares about you, he'll hold you, comfort you, but he believes in you to such a degree that the word of God rising up in you will be, no, you can do that. Get up. Come on. We're going to go and believe God for stuff. And we begin to learn to use the incredible playbook of the Bible and the training and recognize that I can literally take the fruits, the strengths of Holy Spirit and just grow in them. And I can have the gifts of Holy Spirit. He never leaves me. And any situation I arise into, healing flows out of me. A word of knowledge flows out of me. The discerning of spirits will flow out of me and out of you. The church today is living in this crazy, a lot of them anyway, in this craziness of just keep your head down and we're going to just pray for you and believe God for the best. And Jesus is going to help us. Jesus works through us, which is why in the old covenant, he had to strengthen David's and Elijah's and Jeremiah's and Elisha's. He had to strengthen them because he worked through them. And the same is true in the New Testament, that Holy Spirit is your helper. That when you begin to think that through, that kind of gives you a brain cramp. Well, I'm supposed to follow him. Yes, but he's your helper, meaning you're doing it. What am I doing? You speak to the mountains. You get up and take on that bully. You get up and speak to sickness. You get up and make a difference governmental-wise. You get up and begin to use everything that you can at your disposal to bring change and life and rise up and let God use you to advance his kingdom. I don't know who's defined you and how tough you are, but you can be a whiny princess or a warrior princess. You can be this, Jesus, help me, and think you're a real spiritual guy. Or you can allow Holy Spirit to flow through you and strengthen you and make you strong. And by that, I don't mean where you can't have emotions. Of course not. And love, of course. But it'll flow through you and people will go, why aren't you freaking out? Because I know who my God is. What are you going to do about this situation? Don't even know, but he'll see me through and I'll know. He'll bring me wisdom. He'll give me wisdom. And you'll begin to recognize he'll never leave you, never forsake you. And I'm just challenging you with one word because I preach this at myself. Toughen up, Leon. Toughen up. Handle it, Leon. God's in you. If people in the world can handle 100 times bigger organizations and go through a lot of stuff worse than me, and they still can smile at some point, then Jesus in me, come on, Leon. Get a little harder. Get a little stronger. Let Holy Spirit strengthen you. And that's my desire for you today. It is when as soon as you start to whine or as soon as you start to go, people don't understand. People aren't going to understand what you go through. No one's going to know what you're going through. So you got to decide, who cares? I'm going to get up and be awesome for Jesus. I'm not going to try to be awesome for people. And I'm going to get up and be awesome for Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who died and gave his life for me. He's worth serving. And nothing's going to stop me. Nothing's going to make me quit. Nothing's going to get me off the rails. It's Jesus. And then when you make that decision on the inside, just like Paul, he gloried in his trials. He said, yeah, people say I'm not an apostle, but I've been shipwrecked 3 times. And that was before he got shipwrecked the 4th time. And I've been beaten three times with 39 lashes. I was beaten. That was a Jewish punishment. I was beaten 3 times with rods. That was a Roman punishment. They'd flip you upside down, put your bare feet up in the air, and they'd beat you with rods and break the fine bones in your foot. And many never walked after that. He was healed, get up and go. I was stoned. I was in the deep 3 times, floating for a day and a half after the shipwreck. He started to share. And all of those things were him bringing the gospel to the world. They weren't, yeah, I had a bad sickness here and I had, and everyone wants to make him look as if, no, he knew what Jesus had done for him. He wasn't talking about those things. He was talking about this aggressive forward motion for the kingdom of God. And someone said, well, Leon, I don't know if I could really do that. Of course you can. Look at a football player. That guy gets out there and he gets hit every time. You know how many cracked ribs you have? I remember them taping my fingers together when I played football because there was a possibility I had cracked one of my fingers. And they would spray my ankles when they got sprained and tape them solid and put me back on the field. I was crazy, but I loved the game so much that I'd have the wind knocked out of me and lay on the field doing the guppy. Trying to get my breath back and then go back out there and play because my love for football overrode my cracked ribs and my cracked finger and the wind getting knocked out of me and getting checked all through the game. Can't we just get up and say, come on, let's go do great things for God. And things aren't going to shake me. They're not going to make me go down. They're going to say, come on, we must be doing good if things are coming at us. And let's go do greater things for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about, I want to let you know about him. The Bible says that he died for you on the cross, that he took all your sin, and that he has a gift, that he's qualified you to be in God's family, to have a brand new start, and that his life will come in and make you a new person, a new creation, but he'll never force himself on you. If you'd like that, right now just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I choose to trust in you. I'm following you for the rest of my days with your power, your authority. Help me to learn and to grow in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us know you prayed this prayer. We want to help you on this amazing journey.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. For more episodes or to hear more from Leon, visit leonfontaine.com. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And as a thank you, we'll send you this free resource. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media